Our scripture lesson today comes from the first few verses of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God bless this reading of his holy word. In our work camp, we had 2 weeks of work camp where we were working on the EYN headquarters building that had to be abandoned when Boko Haram came through the town of Kwarhi, where EYN headquarters is located. And they just now, almost 3 years after the initiation of those attacks, are able to get back to working on that facility. And each week, those of us from the U.S. were there for 2 weeks, but the Nigerian workers were there for one full week of their time. And so we had one group of work camp workers the first week, and then a different group the second week. And on the second day, the second work day of the second week of work camp, I was tired about mid-morning. We'd been carrying blocks on our heads up a ramp up to the second story of the building. And I was a bit winded, and I started singing a song to pick myself up. And it wasn't that I was so original that I came up with this idea. It was partly I missed what was happening the week before, because later in the week, as all the men got to know each other, they started singing songs in Hausa. But I could tell what songs they were by the tune. And so it was songs like What a Friend We Have in Jesus and Holy, 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 and many what we would consider traditional hymns, but they're singing them in Hausa, but to the same tunes. And so I was trying to think of something that I could sing in English that might fit a more African rhythm, that might be catchy, but also something that just might pick me up a little bit while I was working. And so I started singing Guide My Feet, because I'm walking up this ramp, and you know, you're stepping on the slats to gain traction up the ramp while you're carrying about a 60-pound, 70-pound concrete block on your head. And I started singing it, but then I had to quit singing because I was too winded to sing and walk up the ramp. But the second week, there were actually two young ladies that were in the work camp, and one was about 15 years old. And she wasn't carrying block, but she was carrying pans of sand, which was a little bit lighter. And after I had stopped singing, she said, "I like that song. I want you to teach it to me." So I took a break, and I went down and got my book, and I wrote out the words to her from the verses that I could remember, which was just a couple of the verses. And then she came over and sat down, and I sang it for her so she could start to learn what the tune was. And later, about an hour and a half later, she had told some of the boys about it, because the boys seemed very interested in her, by the way, because there weren't too many young ladies around this work camp. But all of a sudden, some of the young men wanted to learn the song too. So then we took another break, and I taught them the song. And so that song, Guide My Feet, and they really grabbed onto two things. They really liked the men's echo part in that, you know, "Yes, my Lord," you know, that part. And they really loved that last line, for I don't want to run this race in vain. You know, that idea that everything I do, I need to do it to the fullest extent of how I can show my love for Jesus and how I can show that I'm a follower of Jesus, because, you know, in their environment, you know, we say live today like it's the last day of your life, but we kind of go, yeah, right, because we really don't think it's going to be the last day of our life. But many of the people there live with the fact that today might be the last day of my life. They're still being attacked. Not too far north of where we were is still being attacked about every other week, because it's right on the edge of where it's safe and not safe. And so those towns get resupplied and they become kind of Boko Haram grocery stores. So they come in and attack those towns to get food and to get supplies and to get gasoline and things like that. But that idea of I don't want to run this race in vain is what this passage in Hebrews is all about. Running the race so that we don't run in vain. So we complete the ministry that God has given us. That we focus so intently on the mission that the cost, the pain, the work, the risk, everything else is laid aside so the mission can be accomplished. But how do we do that? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us we look to Jesus and we look to the example of Jesus, because he says you have not yet shed your blood in your struggle against sin like Jesus did for you. We also need to realize that our work is not in vain if we don't get to see the fruit of that work with anything other than eyes of faith. I think one of the struggles that we often have in the American church is that we're willing to put a lot of effort into things that we will see the fruit of. But are we willing to put the effort into things that only our children or our grandchildren will see the fruit of? The things where we only see the fruit through eyes of faith. You see, at the beginning of this passage in Hebrews, it says to do these things, but again, what do I always tell you? It starts with what? Therefore. So what's the writer talking about? Why is there a therefore? It's about the whole chapter 11, and you go back to the very first of chapter, the very first verse of chapter 11. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, we could take out the whole rest of chapter 11, because chapter 11 is just explaining all the places in the Bible that that's happened. So we say, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. So race the race set before you with endurance, throwing off all that hinders you, all that hinders your ability to run with perseverance. Shake off anything that is holding you back in living with your eyes fixed only on Jesus and his ministry in you. You see, they go on in chapter 11. They talk about how Abel is dead. You know, Cain and Abel? Abel's dead, but his life still speaks a testimony to God. His better sacrifice and life speaks a testimony to God. Enoch pleased God, and his life still speaks a testimony to God. Noah listened to God in the face of a world that had turned away from God, and his life still speaks a testimony to the glory of God. Abraham went when God said go, and by faith, he didn't have any assurance other than God telling him, go and I'll do this. He didn't have a written contract from the people that lived in this other place that said, we'll accept you. He went, and as an alien in the land, he lived by faith. So his life speaks as a testimony to the glory of God. Sarah was blessed because she received the promise of God, and her life speaks yet today as a testimony to the glory of God. Each of these died without seeing the fullness of the promise of God. See, each of these died without seeing Jesus. Yet by faith, they knew the promises. And they saw the promises and lived fully into that faith as if they would receive the promises themselves. Joseph knew that the people of Israel would one day be free. But did he live to see that? Not in this world. Moses' mother protected him by faith, even against the king's command. Moses himself chose ill treatment over the pleasures of the palace and followed God when it seemed to all else completely hopeless. And Moses himself never lived in the promised land, but still led the people to it twice. So how is God calling us to live by faith into his promises? Promises we may not see with these eyes, but only through the eyes of faith. Promises we may only know by faith. Promises for a future for our children and our children's children. Promises for a new generation that will know God, because our faith is obedient and already sees and knows the promises that can only be seen by faith. On the last day of the first week of work camp, the workers who were on their last day were given two charges. One was by an older man who was working alongside them, and the other was by one of the pastors at EYN headquarters. Pastor, we called him Papa Amos, because every church he went to, the people ran up to him and called him Papa, because that's what they call their pastors there, Papa or Daddy. The first one from Jacob, the Mason. He said to the men, he said, "What you are building, you are not building to last for 20 or 30 years. You are building something to last 100 years or more. You are building something that will outlast the current destructive forces in our country. Something your children will see and know of your faith in the face of persecution." Keep in mind that most of these men were not even yet married and were not fathers. But he was speaking of their children being blessed to know the work that they were doing. And then Papa Amos, he said, "Work today, this last day of your work together on this site, like this is the last work that you will ever get to do for Jesus. For even if you never see the fruit of this work, even if you never get to come back here and enjoy the fruit of this work, your children and your children's children will. They will come and be blessed to see the action of your faith." I have to admit, over the next week, as I pondered these statements, I was both inspired and saddened. To work for Jesus every day as if it's the last day I have. What a goal. But I have to admit, there's a lot of days where I don't work for Jesus like it's my very last opportunity to show him my love and my all. There are times where I don't worship like it is my last opportunity in this life to worship him as he deserves to be worshiped. One of the most common questions I would get is, tell us about the differences between EYN and the church in America. And my answer came two ways. One is that we have so many blessings in this country, and that sometimes those blessings can be a curse, as we have developed so many gods that compete in our hearts for the love that should belong to Jesus alone. The other I explained this way. I said, when you guys are up to here, up to your neck in mud, you praise God that you can still breathe and that you can still sing praises to God and still give testimony to Jesus Christ. I said, when Americans get mud on the bottom of their shoes, they complain that their shoes got dirty. Frankly, it can be hard to witness to the love of Christ when all we pay attention to is the dirt on our shoes. How would Abraham have ever left for a foreign land if he was worried about getting his feet dirty? How would Moses ever have led the people out of Egypt if he was worried about getting his feet dirty? I heard story after story of people having to flee or be killed. There wasn't a single person that I worked with in either one of the two work camps that did not have to flee their homes when Boko Haram came through. They tell stories, thankfully, that none of them had to live through, but stories they heard testimony of, that the terrorists would come in, look at you with an automatic rifle pointed at you and say, tell me if you are a Christian. You have 3 seconds. And if you said, yes, I'm a Christian, those were the last words you ever spoke. If you hesitated, it was the last thought you ever had in this world. Rebecca Dolly, wife of the former president of EYN, told us the story of being abducted on the roadside and taken behind a bush to be killed, to which she told her abductors that if you kill me, I will go live in heaven with Jesus. And so if you kill me or let me live, either is gain to me. For if you kill me, I'll be with Jesus, and if I live, I'll keep serving. And they let her go. They knew of her humanitarian work. And in the face of all this hatred, our EYN brothers and sisters forgive those who persecute them. They feed them. They take them into their homes. They turn the extra cheek, they go the extra mile, and because of that witness, young men who have turned to Boko Haram as a way of getting food now become Christians. These folks truly are working and serving and worshiping, knowing that this may be their last day to serve Jesus. When I would speak to the people at the different churches, I constantly told them about your prayers and your love but I couldn't help but lift them and tell them that our hope, or that their hope, is so much greater. They would tell us, we're so grateful that you decided to come here to this dangerous place. And I would respond back, but if the danger gets too bad, I can go home. And you can't. You're the ones that are brave. You're the ones that are living out what Jesus calls us to be every day. You see, they are a testimony to Romans 5 and to Hebrews 6 that talks about how persecution builds character and it grows faith and it builds endurance. So when we face those struggles, let us not brush those things aside, but instead live into what those things can do in our own lives, in our own faith, to build our own character, to build our own endurance, to build our own perseverance, to live every day as if today is the last day I will ever be able to show on this earth my love for Jesus. Let us never run the race in vain. Amen. Amen. Amen.